Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Oh, hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is the Macko and Cos podcast. Don't know if I should say welcome back. I mean, it's not like you went anywhere. I mean, I was on vacation. I'm Matthew Cos, and that is Bob Macko. It's Bob. Great to see you.
Nice to see you, too. I think what you're trying to say is nice to be back.
Nice to be back. Yes, absolutely.
You were the moving piece in this equation.
Yeah.
How was Florida?
Florida was great. It was pretty much every day was the same. Get up in the morning, watch the sunrise. Then at some read the newspaper. Oh, it's glorious. Then go for either a run or a 90-minute walk on the beach. Then it was maybe quick time for the pool. Then it was lunch at 11:30. That was a 3-glass minimum lunch. Then come back, maybe a nap, maybe not. More beach, pool, lots of reading. And then it was on to dinner, early dinner. Then back to cigars, sunset, maybe watch a movie, fall asleep halfway into the movie, repeat the next day.
How much douchery did you feel you needed to fit into one day? Because that's a pretty full slate of douchery.
It really is, yeah. I got a lot
of... Aren't the cigars at that point kind of overkill? Like, yeah. If you've fallen asleep to your white buzz from your afternoon drinking Chardonnay on the patio while eating crab cakes, do you really need the cigars later, or at that point, are you just gloating?
To be fair, I had crab cake for dinner, but beyond that...
Did you have the marlin for lunch?
A lot of crunchy grouper sandwich. By the way, spoiler alert, top five fishes we're going to be discussing.
Fishes or seafood? Because we talked about doing seafood.
I did top five fish.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, but the funny thing is a couple quick thoughts about the trip. Total douchebaggery
stuff. You mean more quick thoughts? I thought we just had a bunch of quick thoughts.
Many more. One, it's one of those vacations where you look up and it's 3:30 and you're like, I haven't done anything today.
What are you talking about? And you enumerated a long list of things that you did
really
every day.
It's not really doing much.
It raises a good question. This is what I wanted to throw out to you.
Yeah.
What you describe is like everybody's dream.
Yeah.
I got nowhere to be. I'm in a physically beautiful setting.
Right on the beach overlooking the Gulf of Mexico.
Disposable income so that I can treat myself at least reasonably well.
And also my mom and Sesto, my stepdad, they paid for a lot of the meals. I felt like a kid because I went on my own because my girlfriend was training for Porter. She's going to be a flight attendant at Porter.
It's rare for you to feel like you're being taken care of.
I know. It's very strange.
It's not like you.
Alien world.
So how long can a person do that before they need to get back to work? How long can you do that before it is no longer a treat, but it has simply become a burden?
I think I needed about another 4 days. Like, I was in the point where I was okay to come home. Now, partially because, you know, I miss my girlfriend. So, but I wasn't at the, damn it, it's too early to leave. But I think I could have stretched it at least until, you know, Wednesday. I think I could have caught close to 2 weeks.
I think the magic number is 3 months.
To actually unwind,
right? Yeah, you would be huge. As my dad once said when he tasted my mother-in-law's cooking for the first time, he dabbed the corner of his lips with a napkin and just said, 400. My son will be 400 pounds.
I remember that story.
It was a good lasagna.
Yeah.
I think 3 months is the perfect amount because then you, at some point you start to adopt it as a quasi-lifestyle.
Yeah.
See, the problem with vacation is lingering in the back of your mind is always that thought, this will end.
This will end.
It's kind of an existentially bittersweet thing.
Yes, right? It is. Yes.
And you being existentially bittersweet by nature,
yep.
I'm sure in the back of your mind you're thinking, I better enjoy every single second.
I tried.
Because the moment will come when I have to jump on the plane and go back to gray, dreary Toronto.
The funny thing is, I always have this image of still being up, watching or listening to the ocean at 11:30 at night. But by 10:15, I'm asleep on the couch, you know, 40 minutes into Inglourious Basterds. Like that, that literally was like, oh, I'm going to stay awake. And then asleep.
It feels like the doctors, instead of prescribing sleeping pills, should prescribe movies to watch on the couch.
Yeah.
Because does anyone ever watch, when you pop a DVD in, does anybody ever watch to the end?
Not usually, no.
Not usually.
No, especially when you're out in the sun and just food and stuff. So it was a great trip. One interesting thing.
Okay.
I went to the March for Our Lives in Naples. That was last Saturday. And there was about 3,000 people. And I will say this, one, the most orderly protest I've ever been a part of. They said, stay on the sidewalk. People did. Very well dressed. The most shirts tucked into shorts I've ever seen at a protest. But also, the kids, like the high school kids that spoke, were damn good. Like so much more mature and poised than I ever was at that age. Unfortunately, I think they've been forced to be that mature and poised. And I remember one line from this one 17-year-old girl who said that mental health, it's a global issue. It's a global problem. But mass shootings in schools, that's an American problem. And I thought that really encapsulated it all perfectly. So good on the high schools and everyone who did on that march, the March for Our Lives in Naples. It was, and I just was a fly on the wall, and it was interesting just to poke my head and see what it all looked like.
Was it mostly kids and families, or what was the personality, like the breakdown?
It was all over. It was a lot of parents with their kids, but it was a lot of post 50-year-old people. And I think part of it's Naples. You know, you're going to get just a lot of that.
Well, it's a lot of retirees.
Yeah,
there's
going to be that higher demographic. But it was tons. Like, it was funny seeing, you know, the 45, 52-year-old woman with a Black Lives Matter sweater on. And, you know, she's paler than I am. And, you know, so it was a lot of that. But it was really well attended. And it was some great speeches from retired Marines to 16-year-old kids.
So I want to go back to something that teenager, the high school student, said about mental illness being a global issue, but
yeah,
guns and specifically
mass shootings in high schools. Yeah.
Right, is an American problem. I actually don't, like, I think the Second Amendment can be worked with without necessarily repealing it. I'm no constitutional expert. I don't even pretend.
What?
But
I'm glad one of us is.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
I'm sure that there's a lot of flex within the amendment itself that people can work with. But here's the thing I find fascinating. It's one thing to say, I'm taking your guns away from you. And it's another to say, well, we should probably look at this differently. Because obviously the guns are falling into the wrong people's hands, right? However you want to break that issue down. You want to talk about what sounds mentally ill. It's the people who go crazy yelling at teenagers who have been actually through a school shooting.
Yep.
The level of hysteria, I don't know that I've seen it this concentrated yet in terms of the public reaction and stuff, mostly because of who they're screaming at. Like, if there's one thing to say, you know, you snowflake liberal, you fascist, you know, Nazi, whatever, right? Like, we see that in public discourse all the time now. It's devolved into these two very widely bifurcated camps.
Delightful.
Oh, yeah. It's a real treat to be a part of. Important discussions, but there's a lot of yelling and name calling along the way.
Yes.
You can feel as strongly as you want, but at what point should like an internal restrictor plate, like some kind of governor, kick in and say, maybe I shouldn't try to belittle and humiliate the legal child who has just been through a mass school shooting and seen their friends die because I love my guns.
Yeah.
Like, you can make that point without having to humiliate the child.
It's nuts. The only explanation I'm trying to think of, because the obvious one is just to go, you crazy, you know, and it's always the extremists. And it's such a tiny slice.
Is it?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know if I agree with that.
No?
I mean,
you think it's million? I mean, like, to me,
well, millions, from a tiny slice to millions is a huge jump. I think there is a lot of people.
I think it's a couple thousand.
I think the problem is way more widespread than that. You know, I mean, you have people on Fox, like commentators on Fox News, like gleefully rubbing their hands that these kids didn't get into the colleges they wanted to. I think we diminish the problem by saying that it is just a tiny, tiny slice of the American public that thinks this. I think a lot of the American public thinks this.
We can push back on the numbers, but my only theory I can come up with is that when people are getting angry, their ire is maybe not meant to be at the kid, but it's the fact that the children from Parkland, and they are children, which just makes this, you know, the whole story that much worse, is that you see them more on CNN and MSNBC. So the people that are angry, especially the real nut jobs, they view it as, this is liberal media using children to push their ideology on me.
Yeah, I've heard that argument.
So then the ire is those children actors, and all these like weird accusations that, you know, just seem so strange. I think that's where it comes out of. But your point is a good one.
Maybe pick a different target.
Yeah, maybe go after a different target.
Final thought on this, so we don't turn this into, you know, necessarily the, you know, the Situation Room with Wolf.
By the way, Blitzer. In terms of amendments, there was an amendment that was passed and survived for many decades, and then it was unpopular, and then they got rid of it. It was prohibition. They've done it in the past.
Yeah, that is certainly true. That is a very good point.
Yeah.
The one last thing I wanted to add to this is another level of criticism that I find really repugnant are the people out there who say, these kids, they're just young. We shouldn't listen to them. They don't get how life works.
Yes.
Is someone sitting there from their den on their laptop tweeting about how these kids don't know how life works
yes.
when they're the ones yes. that have been through a school shooting? Who doesn't see how life works?
Yeah, oh God,
you know, I think these kids have gotten an unfortunate crash course into how bad life can be. So mm-hmm. to sit to people who have actually lived through a tragedy and say that your opinion doesn't count because you don't know how things work is so presumptuous and so arrogant. It mm-hmm. actually boggles my mind.
Yes.
Would you ever look at a victim of a crime and say you don't understand anything about crime?
Of course not. And the bad part there is like we shouldn't listen. You should always listen. Now, if you want to come out and say, these children probably are not well-versed in policy and constitutional legalities and all these things, fine. That doesn't mean you shouldn't listen to them and that these kids don't raise important points and that they can't be part of the catalyst for change. When you, I don't mind disagreement. I like disagreement.
It's at the heart of every healthy democracy is a healthy disagreement.
What I hate is dismissive. And that's the problem.
You do hate that.
Yeah.
Even though my politics, I think they lean left. I fancy myself a centrist, but that's probably just me congratulating myself on something that isn't really true. I probably just lean left. But I do think it's really important, even in, from my position, to have a very smart, educated, and active mm-hmm. right wing. I think it's important to have yeah. that debate because the conservative movement, the healthier, smarter, and better it is, the more you have actual debates and conversations about how to make our overall society better.
Yeah.
I don't presume to have all the answers, right? I just have gut instincts.
Yeah.
You know, Matt, if you can come up with a point of view that's different than mine and it sounds good.
Fantastic.
Isn't that what we want? Is the best point of view?
Well, it's fun. Win? You know, taking this to sports, and when we would do, you know, the show together on TSN, I would come in with ideas and thoughts. And what I didn't like, no, that's a bad idea. You know, I don't mind. That's not a good idea. We should do this. I loved when someone had a better idea than me. I'm like, great, your idea is better. This will serve the show better. And this, you know, in essence, will serve me better and the listener better. So I'm all for better ideas than what I have. Open door policy.
So shall we get into sports? Sure. That was a fairly protracted.
Yeah.
What are we at? Like 11 minutes in?
We are at 12 minutes.
Yeah. I'm always amazed by how long it takes us to actually get into the show.
It's a cold open, Bob. It's a cold open.
Cold open.
Yeah.
So here's what I realized.
Yeah.
And it's counterintuitive
yeah.
to what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that as the season winds down for the Leafs, I get more and more confident about their chances. And as the season winds down for the Raptors, I get less and less confident, which 3 weeks ago is exactly the opposite of where I expected to be.
Absolutely. But when we do our next show, which I think we're going to do on Friday, the Raptors will have played Cleveland and Boston. If they can go 2-for-2 in the back-to-back starting tonight and tomorrow, then everything will change again.
Even a split. Even a split
would be fine. A well-played split. A well-played split. But you're absolutely right. The confidence in the Maple Leafs is growing. Why? Part of it's Austin Matthews is back. And he missed a month. In 7 games, 5 goals, 5 assists, a crazy pass to Nylander for the 3-1 goal last night against the Sabres in an utterly meaningless game. But you're right, Bob. A big picture, absolutely.
He's a spectacular player that isn't a spectacular player.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that, you know, when you look at McDavid and you think about his end-to-end rushes
or
and
line
the speed
a.
he generates. Or, yeah. yeah, the line A shot.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's that one identifiable quality to Austin Matthews where you say, this is highlight reel material.
The problem is one of the things, I mean, listen, he's got a great shot.
He's got a great everything.
He's got a great everything. So there's not that one power boost. And maybe what he's best at is just plain being able to control things in a small, defined space of chaos. I think that might be the best thing about him.
It's like he is the player that when you're playing a video game, and you slide all the rails to 95 equally.
Yeah.
He's that player. I don't know that yeah. there's one skill that necessarily hits 100 the way McDavid's skating would or Line A's shot would.
Yeah.
But everything is just above 90.
Mm-hmm.
He is a classic top of the honor roll student.
Oh, yeah.
And you make a good point. And I know this has been said many times, but it always boggles my mind that so few of these goals have been scored on the power play.
Oh, I know.
It's outrageous how yeah. effective he is 5-on-5.
I think he's tied with McDavid with the most even strength goals since the beginning of last year. And Matthews has missed a lot of time this year. He's missed about 20 games.
You've been talking to a lot of the Leafs experts on air recently. Yep. Has anyone discussed ice time and what they expect once they get into the playoffs for Auston Matthews? Because I feel like there should be a bar at which, like, the Makuin cause over-under, and if it's under a certain point, we're officially mad at Mike Babcock.
Okay.
Like, what would that be? 19 minutes? In the playoffs?
Yeah, if it's under 19 minutes, yeah, you're going to get some anger out of me. Actually, I have it here.
Can you look up the last few games? Because nothing says good podcast quite like looking up facts during the podcast.
I can tell you right now that he plays a little over, I should have this. Okay, you know what? When you're trying to delay?
Stalling?
Stalling, thank you. I had a better word, but... Last night against...
Wait a minute. You're insulting my word? You didn't have any word.
I know.
How dare you throw back to me, I had a better... So what, do we feel disappointed you didn't get to reveal your awesome word?
Yeah.
I kept the trains on time, Matt.
And I'm sitting there by the side. Last night against Buffalo,
yeah.
Marner, Nylander, Matthews, Riley all played fewer minutes than their regular schedule amount. So that made me happy.
And that's an end of the season strategy. You're playing Buffalo. The game doesn't really matter much. You're not fighting for anything at this point.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
So that makes total sense. It's curious that the Raptors, you and I had basically said, they're going to be first or else, you know, it would be an outrageous collapse. No, that's not unfair. It would be unforeseen if they didn't finish first. Now, I don't know. I don't know.
It's good. Well, I mean, we're going to find
out. Boston has been playing really well without their best players, but they just... Let's stick with the Leafs, and then I'll talk about my panic with the Raptors.
All right, I can't find it. It's around eight. It's somewhere it's like early 18. No, it's like 17 minutes for Matthews.
So 19. Can we set it at that? That he has to play over 19 minutes a game on average?
Yes, 100%. And Marner and Nylander, they're in the mid-16s. They've got to be around 18 at the very least.
It's funny, though, because the Leafs, in a lot of ways, have been successful because they've been able to spread the joy around. Mm-hmm. You know, multiple 30-goal scorers, multiple lines going at once.
Well, Dave Feshuk brought up the point just about spreading things around, about the minutes for the top players of the Maple Leafs, that it is far lower, and that is done on purpose. And some will say, you know, salary suppression because maybe fewer numbers, but also just keep this team healthy. Beyond, you know, the injuries to Matthews, and he missed no time last year, the Leafs have been a really healthy team, and part of that's just because of the minutes played.
You can also see how the Leafs, like, remember Marner last year? He had never
18-11.
There you go, buddy. Oof. That's for the season, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a season average. So maybe it's 18-11 is the number.
No, at least to make the... No, in the playoffs.
At least 45 seconds more, at least one shift more than he would get during the regular season.
One or two shifts more. I don't think that's asking for too much.
It's really not asking for much at all.
Yeah.
In fact, maybe we've done a bad job of negotiating with Mike Babcock.
Yeah. Mike, if you're listening, and you are, good morning or good afternoon, or maybe you're working out right now. Minimum 19 minutes. That's not asking too much.
Ooh, good question here. Can we sidebar?
Yeah.
Who's the fittest coach in pro sports? Like, Ed Hockley is obviously the fittest official. From football, he's got the pipes going underneath the striped shirt.
I guess
who's the fittest coach?
I guess we can't do former players because I want to do like Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, you can.
Jim Harbaugh?
You can. Sure, he looks great.
Yeah.
John Harbaugh's pretty fit too.
Yeah, both of them.
But Jim has that sort of rage eating the extra almond a la Tom Brady vibe to him.
Yeah. I'm going to go off the top of my head, I'm going to go Jim Harbaugh.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I think that's good. Who's the least fit? Andy Reid or Ken Hitchcock?
Ooh.
Least fit coach.
I'm going to go Hitchcock because he's older. So I'm just going to go. We're not only going to make fun of fat people, but we might as well get ageist as well and just wrap it into one offensive burrito.
Can you do your Dan Le Batard impersonation of Andy Reid just quickly?
Oh.
The one where he's like the guy at the donuts in the office?
Andy Reid looks like the guy in the office that looks at a box of open donuts and twiddles all his fingers and go, ooh, don't mind if I do. The Dan Le Batard looks like game. It's great.
Oh, man, that's the best. And you do it so gleefully, too. Well, I dig that about you.
Who doesn't want to, you know, an open box of donuts is just an open box of happy.
The Leafs are just pounding people right now. They look healthy. They look great. I was pretty convinced they wouldn't. I don't want to say convinced they wouldn't get out of the first round, but I had a pretty healthy skepticism just based on what the matchups were going to be.
Yeah. Well, by the way, the matchups. Once again, someone needs to hit Gary Bettman over the head.
It's the stupidest.
And by the way, it hurts both the Leafs. It's like, wait a minute. You've got 103 points. You could have 107. And your reward is going to take on a team that's got 110 points. It makes no sense. But also, think of this. Think if you are Tampa and you were first place all season. And you have a bit of a mini slump. So now you're in second place with the second best record in the East. And what's your reward? The Maple Leafs. It should be a Columbus or a Philadelphia. Like, it's ridiculous. Just the, and again, I'm not saying anything no one's ever heard as said, but it's just, it's nuts.
I always liked 1 to 16. The just, things that are seeded 1 to 16.
Yeah, you know what this is? You know what the playoffs are right now?
Go for it.
Okay, man. It's when you take a pizza, but then you start messing around with it too much. You know, it's like, oh, you like scallop? Let's put a little scallop on. And let's put three different types of cheese. And let's do this, and let's do this. And in the end, you've got this confused, fancy pizza. And it shouldn't be like that. The playoffs should be simple. 1 to 16, really well-done cheese, a nice sauce, you know.
A little basil.
A little bit of basil, thin crust. If you want to get a little prosciutto, we can talk about it. And that's it. 1 to 16.
Quick sidebar.
Yeah.
What is the stupidest pizza topping? I have a suggestion.
All right.
Red onion.
Mm.
What the hell is with red onion? How fancy do you need to be to have red onion on your pizza?
I'm not a fan. No, absolutely.
I also don't like chicken. That's not too fancy, but I just don't get it. It comes out kind of dry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's never good chicken.
And it's never good chicken.
No. Now, unless you're getting like a specific barbecue chicken pizza. But even then, it's not going to be on the top of my list. Give me some prosciutto. Give me some mushroom.
I disagree with prosciutto.
Oh, yeah?
Because prosciutto, when you cook, it gets really salty because all the salt, when you cure it, releases. And as salty it is as it is when you eat it normally.
Yeah.
Have you ever heated prosciutto up?
It's been a while.
Yeah, I did it this morning. It's my daughter. My daughter had a prosciutto panini for school today.
How much of it did you eat?
None.
Oh, okay.
None. In fact, you know what? I'll bring my lunch out and we can talk about this. Hang on. Filibuster for one second.
That was the word. Filibuster was the one I was looking for. You were late with that, just like I was late with the time with Austin Matthews. And people should know, oh, you know what I can do while you're filibustering? Let's get a Seat Giant. Everyone's favorite. I'm going to use Seat Giant, by the way, for the Arcade Fire concert. If you are looking for concert tickets, sporting event tickets, everything and anything in North America, just check out seatgiant.ca. All tickets are in Canadian dollars. Yes, that's right. Canadian dollars. So you're not going to finally get your final bill, and it's 25% more because it's in American. No more exchange fees, bank fees, anything like that when you check out. Speaking of checkout, use the discount code Bob and Matt. Use that at checkout and you save money. You just click the add button, then the review order button, put in your discount code of Bob and Matt. You will save money. We will get a small discount. We will get a small bit of that money back our way, which is great because it's not free to do the podcast. SeatGiant.ca, all Canadian owned and operated.
Nice, Matt. I'm going to give that a solid A-.
Because
even though you did it pretty conventionally, you did it well. I felt like I got the message.
Yeah. This is not me doing a read, Bob. This is me speaking from the heart.
Yeah.
I'm not reading copy. I'm not reading, pre-prepared messages. It's the only message.
Matt, I'm sitting next to you. I watched you read it.
Yeah, you did, not the list. Shh.
Okay, so you know I just finished my month-long cleanse.
Yes, you did.
I dropped a bunch.
Yep.
Feeling pretty good.
There
and
you
I
go.
Decided, so I had Easter, lunch, breakfast, dinner.
Yep.
Second dinner. I did exactly what you would expect I would do.
Captain Caveman!
Right, I had a conjugal visit with food. But then I decided at the end of it, like over now,
this
I was like,
pantry's a rockin', don't come a knockin'.
I didn't feel good, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to keep going. Even though it's not going to be a cleanse anymore, I'm going to keep going with the healthy diet, so I brought my lunch. Are you ready for it, Matt?
Yep.
All right, I'm going to put it right on the table.
Yep. Oh my God. Bob's lunch, which, by the way, so poorly wrapped. Do you not have, like, Ziploc bags?
No, it's just a sandwich bag.
It's just a giant piece of broccoli. Like, this looks more like a punishment because your kid said the F word in school than a lunch.
That's the food equivalent of getting your mouth washed out with soap.
Yeah, that is.
Look at that. So, yes, I am going to eat a hunk of raw broccoli for lunch.
Where are you going to eat this, by the way?
Probably on the streetcar.
Oh, God, you're going to be a real delight. Yep. You're going to be, someone's going to be sitting next to you. You're going to pull it from your pocket, this shabbily, you know, covered thing of broccoli and just eating it.
Pretty dodgy.
Oh, my God.
We got top five seafoods or top five fish coming up in a little bit. Also, we'll talk more about the Raptors and my level of panic, which is increasing almost by the minute.
Yep.
But I kind of want to talk about the Jays because since we last spoke, the Jays started their season and they're now, they sit at 3-2 after splitting the series against New York. Yep. And then last night, a nice comeback win against the White Sox. Mm-hmm. My impression, Matt, and this is just me intuiting because we've been pals for so long.
Yeah.
But my impression is you've watched probably less than three total innings of baseball in five games.
I was in Florida for the, for the first bunch.
Not judging. No, merely stating for the record.
Yeah. You're about right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over-under is 2.5. Yeah. Should I bet the under?
Bang home the under. I was following
Scott MacArthur doing his reads for the betting service that you guys do? Is it Proline?
Yeah, it's Proline
on TSN 1050. Yeah, so Scott MacArthur is saying take the under on Matt's baseball viewing.
Yeah, well, except I love the Proline ones on and take the Bucks tonight against the Pacers. You don't know.
And the thinner that night's roster is, that the slate of games is, the more outrageous the picks are.
Yeah.
Yep, we've got the Marlins going up against the Diamondbacks.
It's always insert pitcher A who's hot against insert pitcher B who's lost three of his last four.
In hockey, it's always who has the better goalie.
Yeah, just this goalie's hot. Take that guy. As for the Jays, I followed the home opener on Twitter. So the Stanton home runs and the Donaldson dead arm and Tulowitzki's on the 60-day DL. And I'm like, oh my God, they couldn't got off to the worst start.
Now, I'm really excited about this team mostly because there's some fairly unpronounceable names. And I'm wondering how long you can get away with avoiding their names on air.
Bob. Don't just put this to me. I challenge everyone, go back and listen to old shows, any station, any TV you want, about the Jays. Every time you hear this sentence, well, they brought in Solarte and Diaz for depth and to help for insurance case of injuries. Every time you heard that.
Always the last names.
Translation, I can't pronounce the first names.
100%.
No one can pronounce. Ledmus, Diaz. And,
that's not bad.
Yeah. And what's a?
Yanyervis.
All right.
And then there's Gift Ngope.
What's that?
Gift Ngope. He's a backup utility infielder.
What the hell do those words you just said? I don't know who that is.
I know. And I keep laughing myself because eventually one of them is going to have, you know, like a five RBI night.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to talk about it the next day. We'll see. And I'm wondering how we'll see.
Hopefully they have the five RBI night on a Leafs playoff game. And then I don't need to say it at all.
As soon as I saw those signings in the offseason, I thought, mental note, Cause will butcher these names. There's three brand new entries into the Cause butchery lexicon. Suck.
Like those names, just come on.
Solarte was good last night.
Yeah.
Diaz has been hot. Notice how I used only their last names. They're tough to say.
They are tough to say. Three home runs and only four hits. That's the state of baseball today. It's home run or strikeout.
Launch angle. Ugh. Everybody's just trying to go
launch
deep.
Angle, velocity, exit velocity.
Yeah, we're money balling this thing. Home runs or walks. That's what we're basically looking for.
You know who had a very below average exit velocity? And that bad exit velocity kind of says bad player. You know what a bad one?
No.
Tony Gwynn.
Yeah.
Guess he got lucky on 3,300 hits.
Yeah, not bad. Good guy, too. Sad story.
Yeah.
So the Jays are actually, in a weird way, it really goes to show the power of the playoffs and the power of the Leafs and the Raptors, too.
Yep.
I think that splitting with the Yankees in kind of dramatic fashion.
It was a big win. Because the Jays, if they had lost three out of four to the Yankees.
Game four was the big win. Yeah. The Justin Smoke game.
Yeah, like the stink that would have gone on. And you're not going to get great attendance against the White Sox. It's the White Sox.
But the Yankees are in town to start the season. And everybody has proclaimed them, or the Astros, the best team in the American League.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly know they're probably the best team in the American League East.
Yep.
And you hate them because they're the Yankees. And they're yanking up again. You know, they're hulking up the way only they can. So there was a kind of a symbolism to it. If they got kicked around at home, especially after that first game where they really looked powerless to stop that offense.
And then Sean Gibbons,
and then dead arm.
Yeah.
That was the worst part.
Not injured. Dead.
Oh, my gosh. So you had the Roy Halladay thing was always going to be pretty emotional.
Yes.
And it was. But that first game just said, nothing to see here, folks. Yeah. Move along.
Well, I sent a tweet before the game saying my big concern is the best moment for the Blue Jays season already happened.
Yeah, and that would have been
the Vlad Guerrero walk-off home run in Montreal. And then after the first game, I'm like, yes, I'm right. I mean, sure, there's 161 more games, you know, to prove me wrong. But, yeah, a really tough start.
What's really been interesting is how that infield defense has improved. And I have a feeling this team is not going to stink.
I hope you're right.
I think they're not going to stink. They may not win. They probably won't win. I can't see them in the playoffs. I kind of went into the season thinking 76 wins.
Yeah.
But I think it's more like 81, 82.
Okay.
Which is a weird place to be because then you don't really know.
It sort of skews this, but actually goes well with the color scheme. That's sort of the blue ball version of a baseball season.
Failure to launch?
Yeah, you're 81, 82. It's like, ooh, and then no, taken away.
Right.
It's like, oh, can I my hand, does it go above the sweater? Does it go under the sweater? Early 90s. Yeah, feels like a little bit of a blue ball-y kind of thing.
Yeah, and because of that, I'm not sure we're really going to know all year how to look at this team. And I think probably by the end of the season, we're still not going to know. The Josh Donaldson conversation will be interesting. He's DHing, and, you know, he had a home run last night. That was great. But I think it's just going to be a weird, almost non-starter of a debate. People aren't going to know how to... Because they're never going to suck, and they're never going to be really good.
You know what my biggest problem with the Jays are? And I think they fall just a little below 500. Is how many guys are there that you can root for knowing that they'll be there in 3 years... And that they can be part of a team, you know. If the farm system, you know, develops the fruit that we expect it will, then how many guys will actually be there? And that's why you can root for Stroman and Sanchez and
what?
Then who?
Oh, I thought you were looking at me like, what'd you do? But I guess your point was, it drops off there.
Drops off. Maybe Osuna. You know, Osuna's great. So I'll include Osuna in that list. Young
Although
guy.
Closers are weird.
From season to season, you never know. Because, I mean, how many, like, maybe Osuna, but that's where the list kind of ends for me.
Everybody exciting is still in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Nobody, it feels like Diaz and Solarte could be Bonifacio and Meiser Astures, but maybe a little better than that. Well, probably better than
Hopefully.
Yeah, because they were sucking. Yeah. I remember once after a three-error game by Emilio Bonifacio, I went on Twitter and I made some eggs and I broke the yolks and I proclaimed this dish, Eggs Bonifacio.
Yeah, that didn't last long.
Three eggs.
Yeah, three eggs.
like one person liked it. Everyone was like, what the hell is this guy talking about? I think that, you know, in April, there's always that sort of first flush of that, you know, the first couple series. You're kind of into it, but it's gray out, and they're probably going to be close to 500 in about 20 games from now. I just don't know we're going to know how to talk about them.
I think it's going to be very difficult. That's why I let the playoffs go on as long as they can to help mask the fact. It's going to be, I don't know.
All right, so here's my one question for you.
Yeah.
What is the storyline you hope happens, because it would be kind of exciting for you, between now and, say, July the 1st? And I say specifically between now and July the 1st, so it's not a Bichette and Guerrero call-up situation.
No, I'm not going to those guys aren't coming out.
Not
I don't want to see them. Really, it's just it's a cop-out answer. It's Sanchez looks like 2016 Sanchez.
I think that's mine, too. And I could I might expand it a little bit because I'm greedy to Sanchez and Stroman. I kind of want to see both of them be exciting because they are players that you could say I could see them as an important part of the team in 3 years.
These could be all-stars in 2020.
You know, we're apparently pissing off Stroman at every left turn, and Sanchez feels like he's got one foot out the door, so it's hard to emotionally invest in either of them.
But that's what but they're young and they're still under control for a while, so hopefully that can turn around.
Yeah, totally. So I would say, really, I'm watching for their starts at this point. Jay Happ is old. Marco Estrada, who knows? I expect every single inning is the one where they're just going to figure out his changeup, and then that's it.
Yeah, see, I enjoy Estrada for the moment, not for the future.
Right.
You know, that's how I feel about him.
Right. And Jaime Garcia?
Hey!
I don't know.
Hey, pitched well yesterday.
Like Liriano or good whoever else they bring in to be the fifth starter.
Feel good story of the hour.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
All right, so are we done with baseball for a little bit?
Oh, yeah, we're done with baseball. I mean, obviously, got to talk Raptors, but I need to bring something up.
Okay.
Everyone is celebrating the joy of Daniel and Henrik Sedin. They are retiring. And, Bob, they did it in a classy way. They did it with just three games left. they played, you know, over 1,000 games, and they had almost the same amount of points, and they had been on the same team forever. Is there not something creepy that they both feel they need to retire together? Like, what if one of them wanted to continue playing? Could they? Could Daniel be on his own? No, 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 no. Henrik's got to be there as well. They got to always be on the same team. Like, I'm a twin. I'm allowed to do twin-on-twin crime. You know, I'm allowed to say that word. You're not. But I mean, to me, it's creepy. You know what I mean? And also, why did they chase Danny around in the Overlook Hotel? They should have left him alone. He's enjoying his Tonka truck.
Matt. Yeah. I'm so glad you brought this up and that you had the appropriate reference, because the Sedins are the twin girls from The Shining.
They are.
Of the hockey world.
Yes.
It is totally creepy. And of course they were going to retire together.
Why?
Be Brian Burke's person. Greatest gift to the NHL is also his greatest curse in that he brought them together and they never separated.
Why is no one bringing this up that they both, that they have to?
How did one of them not get traded?
Yeah.
Over all those years and all the ups and downs that the Canucks would have had. But it was almost like no one would even discuss it. Well, you can't trade one of the Sedins.
Okay, think about this. In terms of power of player movement, there's LeBron James. There's Brady and Rodgers. It's a basketball, or football doesn't count.
Matt's pounding the table.
You have LeBron James has the most power in sports to pick and choose where he wants to go. And second, we're the Sedin twins. Oh, can't move those guys. Can't split them up. And listen, they're Hall of Fame players. They're great players. There's something weird about this.
Well, also, they had that sort of plain face, right? Like their faces were always blank. Like they were speaking through mind control.
Yeah.
So maybe they just simply had the Canucks ownership under mind control. Ordinarily, I would not put that out as a hypothesis. But
think about this. They've played almost the same amount of games. They've scored almost the same amount of points. Like, they're the weirdest, strangest phenomenon in the NHL, and they've flown under the radar, and today and yesterday, rightfully so, we're celebrating them because, you know, they never got in trouble. They were incredibly productive players. They seemed like they were good fellas. James Duffy loves them and, you know, all that. But is anyone bringing up the idea, why are you both retired? Like, can you not just trail your own path?
But you knew they would. There was no way one of them was going to stay because of the history that you discussed. Were you at all surprised, even 1% surprised, that they announced they'd both be leaving at the same time?
That's the thing. I wasn't surprised.
Right.
But then I stopped and took a step back. And why am I not? Shouldn't I be surprised? The weird part is that I'm not surprised that this is, of course, just normal. They are one of the weirdest things ever in sport.
They're like a David Cronenberg movie. I feel like somewhere behind the scenes, David Cronenberg's taking notes, and in 5 years, we're going to have a movie called Sedin.
Yeah.
And they speak through mind control. Do you think they've been going from city to city killing? I mean, if we're going to go down this Cronenberg thing.
I don't know why we're inevitably, speculating.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Hey, Tom Hardy did that London British gang
movie. Craze.
The Craze. He could do that again.
Yeah, I don't know.
Skinny him up a little bit. You know?
Actually, both those guys kind of look like Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad. They got a bit of that.
Yep.
Aaron.
Ooh, you're right.
Aaron, what's his name? Aaron Paul.
Oh my God, Aaron Paul.
He could play the Sedins.
Both the Sedins.
Yeah. The Winklevoss twins, but sporty.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, this is the prestige project that Aaron Paul's been waiting for since Breaking Bad ended.
You know, we really should have done top five twins today. Number one would be you and Josh. Number two would be the Grady sisters from The Shining.
Yep. Amy and Christy, my girlfriend, are twins.
Yeah, that's right. It's so weird that you hooked up with a twin.
Yeah, I know.
Is that a weird psychic thing?
No, because...
Was your heart lonely until you found another person who could share your understanding of the world?
No, she jumped me. It should be noted.
Yeah.
Okay,
let me takeaways from today's pods. The Sedin have been killing for years.
Yeah.
And Matt was jumped by Amy.
Yeah, there you go. 100%. All right, I had to get that off my chest.
You know what I think is interesting? Yesterday was dedicated to mysterious and Swedes in precarious situations.
Mm-hmm.
The Sedins in Vancouver and deciding they were moving on. And then, of course, Carlson picking up the puck for the last home game in Ottawa.
Yeah.
Scooped up the puck and now everybody's chattering away. What could that possibly mean?
Yeah.
I looked at this and I thought, wow, what a strange night.
Mm-hmm.
The two biggest stories, three Swedes, great Hall of Fame careers.
All Hall of Famers.
All about leaving the market that you were in for your whole career.
Okay, I just thought of something, Bob.
Okay, go, Matt. You got that grin that says whatever it is, it's probably silly but brilliant.
Dear all NHL voters for the Hall of Fame, don't put them in the same year, even though they have like the exact same amount of points. I don't give a bleep which one you pick, but I want one in and one not in. That would just, like, that will short circuit the Sedin family.
Let's pick Daniel. I think we should make this a cause.
Yeah.
A cause.
Yeah.
It's actually a good name for a bit.
Yeah.
The cause.
You know, I'm a twin, so I'm going to spearhead this. I do not want them in the same year.
I love that idea. Fantastic. Good stuff. Shall we do seafoods?
Yes.
You want to move on to seafoods?
Yep.
So it's top five fish, because every time you go to Florida, you always engage in wonderful, fresh out of the Gulf of Mexico seafood.
Yeah.
And this is one of your favorite topics that are the delicious, and I think you would say delightful.
Yeah. Oh my God. Absolutely.
Foods you have in Naples.
And by the way, afterwards, if we want to riff a little bit on top, like shellfish and other seafood, I'm down for that.
Now, can we both agree ahead of time that Chilean sea bass should not be on the list, because it was simply a marketer's dream that they called it Chilean sea bass. It's actually some grungy ocean fish that they simply renamed that so they could sell it at a marked up price.
Yep. Sure. Okay. That's fine. Okay. Coming in at number five, I'm going to go with Ontario pickerel. Need a little bit of CanCon on it. I've had it in Port Dover before every time. Always been delicious.
Okay, quick, before you go on, sorry to interrupt you, but now, is there a preferred cooking method that you're attaching to these fish?
No.
Because that's an important part of it, because pickerel needs to be fried.
Yes. No. Fried pickerel. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Fried pickerel. At number four, just because it is so versatile. I love it in sashimi. I love it raw with avocado, great in sushi, or a steak, tuna. Mm-hmm. Coming in at number four,
tuna sandwiches?
Tuna salad sandwiches.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Number three, grouper. One of my favorite things in Naples is, and grouper is really good in Florida, the crunchy grouper sandwich.
Go to the Toronto's Chinatown. There's a bunch of places that serve grouper really well.
Done. Love grouper. Number two, black cod. Oh, so good. There was a restaurant, it's closed now, near Sky Dome, where they would cook it on a black rock and then put a little miso. It was not cheap, and it was so good.
Miso-encrusted black cod from Nobu 57 in New York City, one of my favorite meals ever.
Yep. And number one, I don't have the South American denomination on it, but sea bass is damn good.
See, that's what you can't do, though, because it's not really sea bass.
Well, I don't care.
I think it's called Branzino.
Branzino, yeah.
Can you look this up? Because I'm going to talk about some of your choices, but can you look up sea bass and then type in Branzino as well?
Well, here's the thing. I never got bought into the marketing, because when I started like in sea bass, I didn't really know that there was some elitist form of fish, but I just love sea bass. So sea bass for me.
Now, is this a Cam Neely, Farrelly Brothers kind of thing that you came to sea bass through the character sea bass?
Just tried it a bunch of times and just flaky perfection, and it's got a little bit of melt to it. So sea bass for me is number one.
All right. So a couple were kind of glaring omissions in my mind. Halibut.
Halibut number six.
Right.
Haddock number seven.
An honorable mention.
Yes.
If you go to a good fish and chips place, you want to get the halibut.
It has to be.
And haddock's okay too.
Yeah. Haddock's not bad as well. But halibut, that was, and it should be said, that was the noted, that was the hardest one to leave off of.
And I noticed that you didn't have either sailfish or marlin, because when it's cured, it's actually quite delicious. And I think they serve that a lot with wine, don't they?
They do.
Isn't that kind of a wine guy food?
It can.
I had it when I was in Italy, and it was amazing. And I had it with a glass of local white wine. Mm-hmm. I can kind of understand your obsession with this stuff. It was pretty darn good.
It's a great pairing. Acidic white wine with white fish like that is great.
All right.
Branzino, the Italian name for Mediterranean sea bass. There is an unrelated species which has been dubbed Chilean sea bass, but whose true name is the Patagonian toothfish.
I told you. The Patagonian toothfish renamed Chilean sea bass.
Yeah. But European sea bass, different species from North America.
And Branzino is actually Mediterranean sea bass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're both sort of marketing markups.
Yeah. Oh, you know, you're absolutely right. Still, for me, delicious.
Get to the Raptors in just a second, but I got a quick question. Every single week, I try to do something where we talk a little bit about Wine Spectator magazine. You have a stack of about 50 of them in your bathroom on the first floor.
Got more in the back, in the spare bedroom.
I'm sure. Back issues.
Yeah, back issues.
You can't be a sommelier without your back issues of Wine Spectator.
Yeah.
So this one, just to describe to people, so it's got a fairly handsome guy who looks like he's probably in his mid to late 50s on the front cover.
Yep.
It says Napa's John Kongsgaard. Is that correct?
Yep, John Kongsgaard.
And I'm guessing he owns a vineyard?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he looks pretty well off. But what's notable about this and what I want to talk to you about is he's wearing a bow tie.
Yeah.
He's wearing a suit and a pink checked shirt with a kind of a polka dotty bow tie.
Yeah. Central casting.
Yeah. So let's talk bow ties, Matt, in the world of wine. Mm-hmm. Have you ever worn one, and how common are they?
No, and not very common.
Okay. Because I figure there's a lot of... You're not a traditional dandy, but you do like to dress up with a bit of a splash of fun.
Every now and then, I like to traipse in the world of dandy.
Right. But you've never done the bow tie?
No.
Would you do the bow tie?
Absolutely, I would, except for a couple things. One, I don't even know how to tie a tie. Two, I don't think I can pull off a bow tie. Much the same way I can't pull off, you know, a hipster hat, a fedora, any sort of hat. Also, I can't wear a vest. These people that just wear the vest outside their dress shirt and get away with it, I'm jealous. So I don't think I could pull off a bow tie.
Okay. Yeah. The irony in this conversation is, you know who does wear a bow tie and has many times?
Ooh.
Me.
Oh, yeah?
Me.
I don't remember last time seeing you in a... I don't remember ever seeing a bow tie.
Well, you know, it doesn't always come up. It's a fairly site-specific kind of ensemble.
Yes, it is.
You don't really wear it to Sobeys.
Yeah.
You don't go to Fortino's or Longo's in your bow tie. Mm-hmm. Although I would, because I'm a contrarian.
Yeah.
But I actually like it. You know, to me, it's the Andre 3000 from Outkast look, where you get that sort of urban preppy thing going.
Yeah.
They're not as hot as they were a few years ago, but I like it, though. And you know why? It is the most pleasant and sunny way to tell someone to go F themselves, I think.
It's a very efficient way to tell people to go F themselves. Just every second, boop, 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 F you, F you.
Sometimes I like to wear a Bad Brains t-shirt and, you know, eye against eye and let people know I'm not on your team. But sometimes I like to let them know with a bow tie, which is, I don't know why, but I find them very aggressive.
Yeah. Oh, very aggressive. Yeah. 100%.
I like that.
Your thoughts on some of the shellfish? Like, I'm not a big lobster guy.
I'm not a big lobster guy either.
Yeah.
Lobster roll is a surprisingly tasty treat, mostly because it's just a hot dog with lobster.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But lobster I don't love because I feel like it's too expensive for what you get.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much more expensive than shrimp, but it's not that much better than good shrimp.
Exactly. Good shrimp is to me, is number one.
What's the best way to do shrimp?
I just like shrimp cocktail.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So like in a horseradishy kind of dipping sauce?
Yeah, absolutely. Or coconut encrusted shrimp.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's good. I like the good old fashioned Chinese takeout that comes in the aluminum foil tins that got the peel back, you know, the lid on them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And they're just so breaded. Yeah. I mean, basically, it's a shrimp inside a bear claw.
Yeah.
And you just chomp on it. And miscellaneous sauce, doesn't matter. Could be red sauce, could be lemon sauce. But basically, it's a donut and shrimp.
My only problem with that, I need to see the shrimp. I'm like, why are you apologizing? It's shrimp. You don't need to dress it up that much. As I said, a light dusting of coconut is at most for me.
Yeah. And I would say probably the king of all shellfish has to be crab. Mm-hmm. And I tend to prefer it in crab cakes than I do. Like, a good Alaskan king crab is fun, but I think I've mentioned this to you before. My most bourgeois injury ever was when I cut my finger on opening up crab's legs and my finger got infected.
That is the most bourgeois way to get hurt.
So I'm walking around with a big Band-Aid on my index finger on my right hand and, oh, what happened there? Oh, I was opening up crab's legs.
Oh, I had one thing of the Alaskan snow crab where you got to crack it open and just dip it in. Delicious.
But I do like the nutcracker.
Yeah.
And anything that comes with a bowl of warm butter with a little bit of lemon, that's pretty good too. Oh, I'm supposed to give a restaurant recommendation. You're supposed to give a wine one.
Yeah, we're running out of time, by the way. We got like 10 minutes to go.
Oh, really? Okay, well, quickly, at the end of the show, you give a wine one, I'll give a food one. I want to talk a bit about the Raptors in the meantime.
But before we get to that, Bob,
okay,
we got to get to
Jeff Pollock?
Mine. Yeah.
Right. Isn't a pollock a kind of fish?
What's that?
Isn't a pollock a kind of fish?
Is it pollock?
No, it's P-O-L-L-O-K, O-C-K, pollock. I think it's a fish.
Hmm.
Maybe Jeff Pollock is our favorite kind of fish.
Well,
a lawyer fish.
Let me tell you something.
Oh, here he goes.
Let me tell you something right now. If Jeff Pollock is your lawyer, Bob, that is a hell of a catch. And why is it a hell of a catch? Because guess what? You're going to reel in a tiny little law firm, a family family law firm, just like a family of swish fish, like Finding Nemo. Hey, look over there. There's his wife, Evgeny Pollack. She deals with all the accounting, and she can help you with your taxes. But the thing about Jeff Pollack is whether or not you're taking on big sharks or you're taking on little stingrays, he can handle all your sorts of cases. He's great at avoiding court in terms of litigation. He's always there for you. Hell, he was on family vacation in Florida. Clients would call him. So he's our lawyer. He should be your lawyer. JeffPollack.com. JeffPollack.com. That's Jeff with a G. 416-777-0088. That number again, 416-777-0088. And he is our lawyer. That's no joke. Huh?
No, that was good. I'm going to give that one an A- too. Yeah. He put a lot of enthusiasm into it. Just as a sign of how on it he is, he sends me a direct message today on Twitter.
Yeah.
Did you know your account for Watching the Detectives has been suspended? You should take the link off of your front page.
Oh.
First of all, I did not know that.
Shocking.
Shocking. And secondly, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for being so observant and on it. Man, this dude is like, he is, it's like having a little guardian angel on your shoulder.
That's a great, you know, what a great, that is a perfect slogan. Jeff Pollack Law Firm. It's like having a guardian angel on your shoulder. And a better one, not like Gazoo, who's just going to say you're a dum-dum. A real one.
Yeah, but those guys did need a bit of a kick in the ass, though. Fred and Barney?
Yeah.
I actually liked that Gazoo had the guts to face them. He was kind of like a little green intervention.
Well, Barney needed eyes. They just drew him two circles. I've said it so many times. Give the man a pupil.
Have said it so many times.
All right, we got about 7 minutes.
All right, so quickly, let's just go through the Raptors.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, go ahead.
Tomorrow's game against Boston, the most important regular season game in the history of the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that might be true. We probably should have let off earlier with this.
Probably.
With that kind of proclamation, maybe that's not a 54 minutes into the pod kind of thing to bring up.
To be fair, we were talking about my itinerary in Florida. I feel that we did
10 minutes on gun control. We did about 8 minutes on seafood. And then 54 minutes, the most important Raptors game in the history of the franchise, regular season.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're saving the best for last.
Yeah.
There you go. We'll go with that.
Well, maybe it isn't. I haven't done the research. But let's just go with one of the most, and then we can kind of
let ourselves off the hook. Lose again to Boston, without Kyrie Irving, all the whispers that Toronto, you're nice.
Regular season,
you're a nice little novelty, but get out of here. That's going to come back. Also, they lose to Boston again. Very good chance they don't win the East. Now they're not first. Now they don't have an excellent chance to watch Cleveland and Boston fight it out like in some sort of gladiator movie. They don't get to be the Caesar character watching the people fight for his pleasure.
See, I think that what you say sounds true, but I'm not sure how much I invest in it. And I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
I think the playoffs really comes down to three things. Health first.
Yep.
Talent of your team.
Mm-hmm.
And coaching.
Yep.
And really everything else is narrative for the public.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we storytellers love to wrap around stuff. But, you know, these guys are basically a 60-win team. And you've got all-stars and former Olympians on this team. You've got Serge Ibaka, who's seen a few things in the league. So
seen a lot of missed shots. Recently.
Seriously, he's just been a tire fire lately. But anyway, I don't mean to digress yet again. Point being, they are who they are. What worried me about the Boston loss was that it looked like Brad Stevens in a close game, in a playoff style game, could outcoach Dwayne Casey.
Yeah.
Maybe Dwayne Casey learned a lesson from that and he'll bounce back. Because I don't think Dwayne Casey is a bad coach.
No, he's not.
I think he's a very good coach.
Yes.
He's done a lot of great stuff with the lineup. But the playoffs is an X's and O's kind of thing. I think Casey's done a magnificent job of integrating these kids and getting the most out of his roster in that way.
Yeah.
But this is the nitty gritty. This is where it's X's and O's. It's out of timeout plays. It's close. And there's 24 seconds left on the clock in the game. Who's drawing up the better strategy?
Yeah.
Now, I trust that we can outcoach whoever's coaching Cleveland.
Yeah.
Except for LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Him I worry about a little bit. And I'm not sure that we can outcoach Brad Stevens in this. And over the course of 7 games, I worry that they're going to lose one key game because someone's going to outsmart them. I worry about that.
Yeah, it's a great point. And if Kyrie Irving comes back and Tatum and Jaylen Brown just they had up and down years. They're young guys. They're like 20 years old. They're going to be scary. But you know what? Here's the thing about the Raptors. If you truly think you're the best team, then you find a way to get past Brad Stevens and you find a way to get past Kyrie Irving. But it's funny with basketball. Because guys talk so much and they're so much more open – there is a sense that everyone is still dismissive of the Raptors. And I wonder if that plays something to their psyche. And I'm not talking about fans or gas bag media or anything like that.
But Brooklyn, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but I'm talking also about just ex-players that are on ESPN, even current players where, you know, they look at Toronto and they're still like, pfft. Like, there's still that mentality out there. And I always wonder, if they go back-to-back losses against Cleveland, Boston, I wonder how much louder that gets.
Unquestionably, DeMar DeRozan is driven by that.
Yes.
Because you have seen him be snubbed by ESPN, mm-hmm. and just intermittently throughout the year, he'll kind of make reference to it. You can tell it really bugs him, that he still has to fight for his place in the sun.
Yeah.
But that won't make a difference if you send two guys at him who are good defenders in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's just, can you pass out of that double team, and can they kick the ball around and then eventually hit that open three that they've been sort of only okay at hitting this year? You know, it's going to roster, play calling, health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have every faith that DeMar DeRozan would saw off his own arm in order to beat Cleveland.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Ideally, though, what'll be more useful rather than a sawed off arm is someone who can hit threes.
Yes. I will take that. 100%.
So I worry about this team only because I always worry about this team.
But it's not excited.
How you lose. It's not that you lose. It's how did you lose? And could somebody do it to you again?
Yeah. It's like the last loss to Cleveland, that one doesn't bother me as much because LeBron's not going 17 assists with zero turnovers. And was it not J.R. Smith? I forget who it was. Shot 10 for 11. And it's like, that's not happening again.
And even if it did happen once, it's not going to happen four times out of seven.
Yeah.
LeBron has the kind of game that was staggering even for LeBron. Yeah, I agree with you there. The Cleveland loss didn't worry me, but the Boston one did because they looked like a team that could be outmuscled by a defensive team. Boston worries me more than Cleveland. I know the conventional narrative is
LeBron.
Yeah, and he's got Kevin Love back. And mm-hmm. That's true. That's not good. But Boston worries me more, only because I think defensively in the playoffs, when it turns into a grinded out game, they may be better suited to win that grinded out game.
Especially by that point, Kyrie Irving should be back.
Right.
Bob, this was fun. It's good to be back.
Nice to be back. I got to eat my broccoli now.
Yep, your package of sadness.
It is,
but no, good for you. No, it's good. You know,
it's
you
like need a little fist of broccoli.
Yeah, it's just punching all the fun of lunch right
now.
Can
I do anything that isn't angry?
Yeah.
Even my vegetables look angry.
All right, Bob, we got like 30 seconds. You got a restaurant recommendation?
Oh, geez, I totally forgot to get one. Yeah, Bark. Bark Barbecue on Ronsey's. Good place to sit down. Their Sunday brunch is a lot of fun because mm-hmm. if you like unexpected meats for breakfast,
ooh,
that's the place to go.
And then very different from your food. I'm going to go mine. let's go Canadian. Featherstone is an excellent Riesling. So, and it's under $20. So Featherstone Riesling in the Niagara region. Easy to get. Bob, I'll see you on Friday.
See you Friday, buddy.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.